in your order of service, there is a sermon note sheet. Hallelujah. Graduation is an exciting time. Amen. Graduates, it's a time that you've looked forward to for years. Amen. How many times have you said, I just can't wait till I graduate? I just can't wait because then I'll be able to do this and I'll be able to do that and I'll be able to go here and I'll be able to go there. Hallelujah. Oh, well, guess what? That time is now. Amen. You can say, shackles off my feet so I can dance. Amen. Hallelujah. Graduates, remember, with freedom comes responsibility. Everybody say that big word, responsibility. Amen. There's a story of a young fellow who on his 16th birthday approached his father and said, Dad, I'm 16 now. When I get my license, I would like to be able to drive the family car. His dad looked at him and said, Son, driving the car takes maturity. And first, you must prove that you are responsible enough. And one of the ways you must do that is to bring up your grades. They are not acceptable. Second, you must read the Word of God every day. And finally, you must get your hair cut. It looks outrageous. Well, the son began the task of fulfilling his father's requirements. When his grades came out, he went to his dad with a big smile and said, Look, Dad, all A's and B's on my report card. Now can I drive the family car? Very good, son. You're one-third of the way there. But have you been reading the Word of God every day? Yes, Dad, every day. Every day. Very good, son. You're now two-thirds of the way there. Now, when are you going to get your hair cut? The son, thinking that he could outsmart his father, he said, Well, Dad, I don't see why I have to get my hair cut to drive the car. Jesus had long hair, didn't he? The father looked at his boy and said, That's right, son. Jesus did have long hair, and he walked everywhere he went. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You liked that, didn't you, Mary? I did too. Saints, we don't get to enjoy the freedom of adulthood until we have met the conditions for adulthood. And spiritual adulthood, it has one and only one condition. You have to admit, I can't do this on my own. I need Jesus Christ. I need you, Lord Jesus. Saints, right now, what we need to do is just stop trying on our own and just start trusting in Jesus to help us, to strengthen us, to lead us, to guide us, to help us be accountable. Saints, Proverbs 4, our Old Testament text for today, it starts out, above all else, guard your heart. It is where your life comes from. And I want us to see in verse 24, 25, and 26, and 27, we see here where we need to be personally responsible. Look at verse 24. It says, don't speak with twisted words. Keep evil talk away from your lips. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, keep your mouth right. Keep your mouth right. Keep your mouth right. Hallelujah. Keep your mouth right. Ephesians 4 tells us, it says that God will hold us accountable for what comes forth from our mouths. Amen. So it tells us to be careful. Don't let unwholesome talk, it says, come out of your mouth. Don't be going around putting down people. Don't be going around talking about people. Don't be going around making fun of people. Speak life-giving words to those in your life. Not words of death and humiliation and discouragement. Life-giving words. Only wholesome words coming out of your mouth. Then, if you look at verse 25, it says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Keep looking right in front of you. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, keep your eyes right. Keep your eyes right. Keep your eyes right. For you see, what your eyes see will affect your heart. And verse 23 says, above everything else, guard your heart. So that means you got to guard your eyes so that what you see is going to affect your heart in a good way. So that means pornography and all kinds of, there's so much mess that the devil has out there. Just don't look at it. Don't let your eyes feast on it, because what your eyes feast on, it goes into your heart. And God already told us, guard our hearts, because it's where our life comes from. Look at verse 26 and 27. It says, make level paths for your feet to walk on. Only go on ways that are firm. Don't turn to the right or the left. Keep your feet from the path of evil. Saints is saying, don't just turn your feet loose to go anywhere. If you know God wouldn't be pleased, don't go there. Don't go there. And I know you all get so tired of me, young people, talking about the clubs. I'm in this discussion all the time. There's nothing wrong with the clubs. We go there, we stick together, and we don't pay attention to everybody that's around us, you know. We just kind of fellowship and dance with each other. Well, you know what? There's a lot of evil surrounding you. Just be careful. You know, just, you don't even need to go down there. And one teenager told me, she said, well, we always leave just in time because we read somebody got shot after we left. So God always lets us leave before somebody gets shot. Why even test God like that? Why go down there? Why? Why? There's nothing good for you down there. Don't just turn your feet loose to go anywhere they want to go. Keep your feet from the path of evil. And then it's in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, keep your ears right. Keep your ears right. Be careful who you listening to. Because sometimes you could be listening to some mess that's going to just take you down the hole somewhere. Be careful what you're listening to. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Saints, like it or not, we are all accountable to somebody for something. Now, if you are not accountable to somebody or something, raise your hand so that we can find out, how did you do that? How did you do that? And the biggest area of personal accountability we have is to God. Amen. Romans 14, 12 tells us, so then, each of us will give an account of him or herself to God. So with this in mind, saints, let me say that as your new day begins, brethren, as your new opportunities begin, I invite you to do everything you can to get it right the first time around. As you are going on to greatness, get it right the first time around. Jeremiah 29:11, verses 11 through 13, it says, God has a plan for you. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, God has a plan for you. God has a plan. God has a plan for you. And God says it this way, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans for a hope and for a future. You know what? The world would like you to think that God's plan for you is boring. But that's a lie of the devil. It's exciting walking in Christ. There is no more an exciting life than walking in Jesus Christ with the Lord. Hallelujah. And God has made us, and God knows how we work, and God knows the plans God has for us. Good plans. Plans to give us a hope and a future. And if you continue on there in Jeremiah 29, verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, says the Lord. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. Well, what I think God is saying to us, saints, is that God's plans for us become clearer and clearer as we make God our first priority. As we seek God, God's plans for us become clearer. Would you touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, seek to know and love God more. Seek to know and love God more. More of you, Lord Jesus, is our prayer. More of you is our prayer. And we get closer by prayer and meditations and by getting in the Word. Listen to Joshua 1:8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." That's what needs to be in our mouth, the Word of God. "But you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success." Anybody here want success? Success in your life? Success for your loved ones? Hallelujah. Well, success defined in Hebrews means to be prudent. It means to be wise and to understand. All right. Proverbs 4 says, "Above all else, guard your heart. It is where your life comes from." You see, saints, the heart has to do with one's feelings. The heart has to do with one's will. The heart has to do even with one's intellect. We think, we feel, we make decisions with our hearts. Amen. Have you noticed in the medical world, there is so much emphasis today on the heart, focusing on keeping the heart healthy. I was reading a medical magazine the other day, and it says, every day we should walk 30 minutes a day. 30 minutes a day will help keep us from having heart disease or a heart attack. Now, there are more and more, this article says, especially women, who are dying at an earlier and earlier age due to heart conditions and heart attacks. So they're saying, take care of your heart. Get that power walk in at least 30 minutes a day. Hallelujah. I think the best here is Yvonne Sims. She's going to get her power walk on, and that's a good thing. And we all need to follow you, Yvonne. I've been trying to do that more. So I've come to some meetings not smelling that good. But that's the only way I can get my power walk on. I just try to spray a little, you know. But trying to get that power walk in 30 minutes a day. Take care of your heart. Amen. Amen. So, saints, there are some of us adults. How many's had your cholesterol checked? You had your cholesterol. All right, get your cholesterol checked. You know why? When you get your cholesterol checked, it lets you know, McDonald's hamburgers, whether or not they're getting to your arteries or not. Because that cholesterol gets in there, starts clogging them up, starts making the heart work harder. All right, get your cholesterol checked. Get that exercise in. Take care of your heart. Amen. More and more people are dying from heart attacks. It's a big killer. But you know what, saints? The same is true spiritually. God always begins with the heart. And then God works outward. We sing Jesus on the working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. See, the heart comes first. And then speaks of the inner life. How is your inner life, my friend? Proverbs 4 says, above all else, guard your heart. It is where your life comes from. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. The heart is to be guarded at all costs. You know, in armed warfare, the vital part of the body is always protected. They have a shield to protect that vital heart. In our Christian realm, it's the heart as well. The reason, saints, we have so many casualties spiritually in our lives is because we leave our hearts unguarded. We ignore our hearts, and Satan fools and tricks us and gets right in there and causes us to fall and to make bad decisions. Above all else, guard your heart. Now, David writes about a fixed heart. David says in Psalm 112:7, he or she shall not be afraid of evil because his or her heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, fix your heart on Jesus. Keep your heart fixed on Jesus. Keep it fixed. Graduates, keep your hearts fixed on Jesus. Oh, the heart should receive the greatest effort. We should take very good care of our hearts. You see, we protect our homes. We got all kind of security systems, don't we? We got deadbolt locks. We got all kind of security alarms. And on my car, I got this big red thing that I hook on the wheel, you know, and then lock it so they can't get in there and try to take it for the 10th time. You know, we got all these locks, you know. Oh, praise God. Some of us even have some weapons on guard. Oh, dear. Oh, you know, it's called their friend. Oh, yeah, they got friends, they say. But you know what? We do all of these things. We got all this security, but we ignore our hearts. Too many of us, saints, we Christians are trying to live our lives without putting the effort we need into guarding our hearts. The word tells us guard our hearts. That means it's going to be a constant warfare. You can't go out in the day with your heart all wide open and not guard it, because you don't know what ugly thing could jump in there. So you got to guard your heart. You got to use the energy you need. You got to do what you got to do to keep your heart guarded, because it's where your life comes from. You see, if an athlete ignores his or her training, his or her discipline, and they say, I won't stay out to 3 o'clock and party if I want to. I could eat Twinkies and I could just eat, you know, 50 cheeseburgers and a milkshake and whatever I want to eat. I don't have to try to eat fruits and vegetables. I don't have to try to do whatever. Guess what? They're not going to be a very good athlete. And if they let their body just follow the desires of the flesh, how many know that flesh will take you places you do not want to go? If they allow that to happen, their athletic days are over. Saints, the success of your Christian life depends upon following the principles that God has laid out for us in God's word. Now I want us to look here at verses 24 and 27. And graduates, I just want to give you 3 ways to find God's best for you. And our hope and prayer this day is you're going to walk out here with something that you can use to help you find God's best for you. We have 3 challenges, and the first I want to offer you today is be personally accountable. Say that with me. Be personally accountable. Someone has said half of success is just showing up. Just showing up is half of success. And let me add to that. Holding people accountable is why they show up for work on time. Holding them accountable. Holding people accountable is what spurs people to excel in their jobs. It spurs people to be creative and their best on their jobs. If it weren't for being held accountable, people would just take one big coffee break all day long. If it wasn't for us being held accountable. Amen. Saints, graduates, remember, wherever you find yourself, wherever you go off to school, you go and you go to a vocation from wherever you go, whatever role you have, whatever position you have, remember this, if you are accountable to God, you will be motivated to live for God. Be accountable for God in all things. And as you begin your adult life, be sure, wherever you go, graduates, to include regular church attendance wherever you go. Be disciplined to include church in your life. You may not be here in Glendale, but we've given you a foundation. Wherever you go, find that family. Don't forsake the fellowshipping of the saints. You go to Bible study. You go and worship and praise. When I left home, went to Notre Dame College, I went to Mass every morning. I'm not Catholic, but I went to Mass. They didn't let me take communion, but I went to Mass because I said I could learn something about God just being in the service. Every Wednesday night, I went to Assemblies of God Church right over there on Richmond Road between Mayfield and Warrensville. Mayfield Heights, I think. Well, it's really on Richmond Road. And I would go there, have a shouting good time with them on Wednesday night. Then Friday, I headed back to Canton, Ohio, and I worshiped with my church family on the weekend. I've heard so often that some of us, we get away from our parents, and we act like they didn't teach us, they didn't take us to church. We sleeping in on Sunday morning. It's like, what is up with that? What is up with that? Just because mom and dad aren't there saying, now you get up, let's go to church. You should be disciplined enough. You should love the Lord enough. You've got to get up and you've got to, every opportunity you can, go to worship. Hallelujah. Because, you see, you're accountable first to God. And when you're accountable first to God, you're going to be motivated to live for God. Hallelujah. And I want you to think of it, graduates, not as making a decision to do it, but as managing your decision to do it. It's one thing to make a decision. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But it's another thing to manage the decision that you make. For a lot of us, you know, we're in for a lot of pain because we make all kinds of decisions and we are not willing to manage those decisions. You go to college and you decide to sleep in half your classes and party all and do all of this and that. Guess what? The school isn't going to come to your room. Aren't you going to get up and come to class? They're not going to call your mom and dad. You better make your son and daughter come to school. Guess what? They give you a big old incomplete, a big old F, tell you to pack your bags, and hasta la vista, baby. You out of there. There go your money, your parents' money, your money down the drain. If you go to a vocation, you decide, I guess I'm going to take off, I'm going to be late today, I'm not going to go today, or whatever, you just don't show up or do, you take too many breaks, what, you know what, they ain't going to call your parents, they going to say, here's your slip, it says, you are fired. They're not going to baby you, the real world don't baby you, the real world don't keep after you to do what you need to do. You can make all kinds of decisions, but you've got to learn how to manage those decisions that you make. Now, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with your getting, get understanding. Hallelujah. And then our New Testament says, don't you know that a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? This is 1 Corinthians 9. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, don't run like a person who's aimlessly running. No, or who's just beating the air. No, discipline yourself and make it your slave so that after you have preached to others, that you yourself won't break the rule and be disqualified for the prize. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, be personally accountable. Be personally accountable. Say, the second challenge I give you, graduates, is make the right choices. Say that with me, please. Make the right choices. And in this area, I would like to focus on your friends for a moment. You're going to be meeting many people in your life. Oh, some will not be the type of people that you will want as your friends, and some will be who you want. And I want you to be able to make that distinction very clearly and quickly in your lives. When you meet someone who is not going where God would have them to do, you hear them cussing, you hear them going places, and they partying, and they ain't doing their work, and that's not the person that you want to buddy up with. You don't want to buddy up with them. Oh, they know how to party. They know how to. You ain't there for the party. That is not who you want to buddy up with as your friend. All right, you can make a decision to be friends to them, like kind and pray for them. But Proverbs says, who we choose as friends, they have a big effect on our lives. They have a big effect on the direction. Be careful who you choose as your friend. Oh, as you open the door to enter your own life, graduates, continue to live for Jesus Christ. As you choose a friend, say, I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. And you wait for that spirit to you'll feel the spirit. The Lord will bring you together. And know that you're going to have an influence on people. God uses you, young people. And you will never know how many people, because of you, have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord. So always live for Jesus Christ, wherever you are, whoever you're with, live for Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 2:1, we're reminded of being intercessors for others. That means praying for others. Paul says, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. So graduates, as you go forth, you're going to meet people who should be your friends. You'll recognize them by where they stand with Jesus. You'll know, yes, they should be my friend. And always look at the type of person that you would like to have a friend, and then you say, well, you know, I want to be that type of friend for others. And the best way to be a friend is to, everybody say the word set, and say the word maintain. Set and maintain godly standards in your life. Set and maintain godly standards in your life. Praise your name. Make the right choices. Now, perhaps the last and best challenge I can give to you graduates today is seek God's best for your life. Say that with me. Seek God's best for your life. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if you seek the Lord God, you will find him. If you look for him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Hallelujah. Graduates, you're going to want many things in life, and that's okay. That's wonderful, because God says he's got wonderful things for your life. But you must set your priorities. And God should always be top priority. Number one. Uno. One. Matthew 6:33 teaches us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all those desires of your heart, if they're according to God's will be given to you as well. Everybody say, seek. Seek God. Pursue. Pursue God and chase after. Chase after God. Oh, young people, and here's what I mean. You can make all the decisions you want to make. But if you are not trying to find God's best plan for you, you run the risk of making wrong decisions. You run the risk of having those decisions turn sour on you, and there you are left standing wondering, what happened? What happened? What happened? Find God's best plan for you. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, the sooner the better. The sooner the better. Now, graduates, as you leave your teenage years behind you and you let your high school days slip into the shadows of your memories, you will be heading out into a world that is not always very nice. There are those out there that would love to see you fall. Satan is using people out there to destroy you, to put you down. You're going to have professors that are going to be difficult to be in their class. You're going to have bosses who are just ridiculous. You're going to have coworkers. You just wonder what planet did they come from. It's not always going to be nice out there, and it's not always going to be comfortable. A lot of times we find ourselves in some very uncomfortable decisions in places. But graduates, you can get through. You can make it, graduates. You can be victorious, graduates. If you remember, God's got your back. And that's right, Jackie Rush. God's got your back. Touch your neighbor and say, God's got your back. God's got your back. God's got your back. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Remember that. So you don't turn to the left. You don't turn to the right. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Oh, I know you got my back, Lord. Hallelujah. You got a plan and a purpose for me that's very, very good. Praise your name. And God has already declared, graduates, that you are young men and young women of God who has a great purpose for the Lord with a bright and beautiful future. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that when I was a child, I talked like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put childish ways behind me. So today, graduates, we ask that God's anointing be mightily upon your life. That God's guiding hand would be mightily upon your life. And wherever you go, graduates, whatever you do, graduates, do it all in the name of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we say to you, graduates, rise up. Rise up and choose Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for our graduates. We're so proud of them, Lord. We're so proud of them. what you're doing in their lives and what you yet shall do. And so we say thank you, Lord. And we ask that you would teach all of our graduates and teach all of us to follow you, Lord Jesus. Keep our eyes fixed on you. Keep our hearts guarded. Lord, that you would help us, Lord, that which comes out of our mouth. That's what we see, where we go. Lord, that you would be pleased and glorified in our lives. So teach us to think much bigger than just the moment right now, but to look for what you have for us, oh God. Teach us to pour out our lives into you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us so. Oh, you love us so much, Lord Jesus, that you set us free. Free to be all that you desire. You filled us with gifts and talents, and you blessed us in so many ways so that we could be free. And whoever you set free is free indeed. So we say thank you, Lord. And we say yes.